All right. Please remain standing just to honor God's word here. Turn to John chapter 6. So I put them under the gun this week on that last song. I texted him earlier in the week and I said, man, this song is perfect for the sermon. And they had never played it before. They did a good job. Really good job. I know you're worried. You did a good job. It went really good. John chapter 6, verses 15 through 21. John chapter 6, 15 through 21. You'll see why we played some songs this morning about storms here in just a second. John chapter 6, 15 through 21 says, "Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because of a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.' Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning again for your word, Lord. And I know this week, it personally, I learned so much this week and about trust and faith. And Lord, we want to trust you and have faith in you, and that there are storms that are going to happen, and how we handle them and how our faith in you is so key. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so last week, let's do a quick review, just real quick. Last week, we talked about the miracle that Jesus took 5 loaves of barley bread, which was actually like the cheapest form of bread, not very good bread, and 2 small fish, and he fed a crowd of roughly, we think, with men, women, and children combined there, over 10,000 easy, if you figure the women and the kids. We talked about how when we face problems, we can either try to work them out on our own solution, or we can just trust God, or we can trust in who He is. We also really talked last week, a big point last week, about how that Jesus will use what is available to do amazing things. And what we have to do is make ourselves available to do kingdom work, which I was very excited about this church, that I see that a lot. I was very excited yesterday about who came and showed up, that shared the gospel with people, that seeds were planted. And now as we're preaching through the book of John, we see another problem for the disciples. Here they've gotten into the boat. They're crossing this sea, which Scripture tells us here that they had went about 3 or 4 miles. Doing some digging this week, this is really a big lake, and it's about 8 miles across. So they were roughly halfway in the middle of this big lake, slash sea, which Scripture calls it. So the disciples are about halfway across, and then this huge storm comes up. And they're not close to a bank. I mean, they're literally halfway out in the middle. The wind starts blowing really, really bad. And I couldn't help but this week think back to some of the videos that we saw of the duck boat accident in Branson that happened. And I don't know if you saw, not necessarily the video of the boat, because it is really sad, but a lot of other people that lived on the lake posted videos of what the waves look like and the storm. And it was incredible. I mean, the waves just on Table Rock, and Table Rock's not 8 miles across. So these waves had just gotten huge. And boy, if you're out on the water, if you like to go fishing, I like to go crappie fishing in the spring with my father-in-law a lot. And we'll go to Lake of the Ozarks, and I didn't have a whole lot of a chance to do that. But a lot of times on Lake of the Ozarks, you have to be very, very careful, not necessarily from storms, but from the big boats, from the cruising boats. They can create waves that will literally sink a bass boat quick. And so you really have to be careful. And so these waves, boy, it's a mess. And especially you're in a bad spot. If you're out in the middle of a lake, they didn't have life jackets. Their life jacket was Jesus. And we're going to read about how he was here in this situation. But it's a mess. And this storm came up unexpectedly. So they're in the midst of this terrible storm. Matthew, in the book of Matthew, the parallel scripture here, uses a Greek word that's called seismos. It's literally, which means an earthquake. in the parallel scripture. So to describe this storm, it was not like an ordinary breeze blowing. It was a hurricane. I mean, it was a storm, a really, really bad storm. In Luke, he says that the storm was so bad, the ship was full of water. In Mark's account of the same story, it says the waves were beating the ship and it was full of water. Matthew also says that the waves covered the ship. So this is a serious situation. I want you to understand what kind of a situation they're in. They're out in the middle of this lake and it is literally, their boat's about ready to sink. And there is hope is almost all gone. They have a crisis on their hands. It's the ship's full, getting full of water. The waves are high. And all they can think about is, we better be really good swimmers or we're heading for the bottom of this deal. And that's panic mode. I mean, it's panic mode. Now, to put ourselves in that situation, when we're nice here in this comfortable, air-conditioned sanctuary on this hot day, you know, but maybe you, right now in your life, you feel like you're going through situations where you are about ready to sink to the bottom of the lake. And you feel like, man, I just don't know what I am going to do. I don't know how I'm going to handle this situation. And guys, I want to tell you, a lot of times, you know, from our members, my brothers and sisters here, that I love to challenge us to grow in our faith. And I've always try to be a very challenging pastor, that I want to challenge us to grow in our faith and to grow closer in Christ. Today, what I want to do is encourage you today. I really want to encourage you with this scripture that life is a series of problems and storms as we live it. If you're not in one right now, you're probably going to hit one pretty soon. It's just the way it is. But why is that? Why do we have that? I mean, why is our life just perfect when we come to Christ? Well, here's really what I think the answer to that is. God is more interested in our character and in our trusting in Him than He is how comfortable we are. So how we approach storms in life is really, it helps us grow in our faith. And I think we need to understand that. We need to look at that. We need to understand it. The story is the disciples, they're on this boat in the sea, and they don't know what they're going to do. And out of the middle of nowhere, here comes a storm. They're about ready to sink. And guys, that really can tie exactly into our lives. I mean, has there ever been a time in your life, maybe you're not going through right now, but you've been shaken to the core that something's happened? It could be, a bad report by a doctor that comes in and gives you a really, really bad report. And you don't know what you're going to do. Or you lose your job, you go in and they give you a pink slip and say, we're discontinuing your position. Or you get a phone call in the middle of the night that says, I've got some bad news. And those kind of things, you know, those events, they happen. And they're going to happen to everybody in this room. How we deal with them. Do you ever think, I want you to be honest with yourself this morning when I ask this. Do you ever feel like you're just alone? That nobody else understands what I'm going through? Like, I'm just doing this all by myself, and man. So today, instead of hammering away maybe about our sin, I'm going to a little bit, but I want this to encourage you. I want this to be an encouraging message. If you're going through a storm right now, or maybe next month when you start going through a storm, you can go back to the podcast and hit play and listen to it again. So I hope this is encouraging. So the first thing I want to talk about today is, guys, that storms are going to come. They are going to come. They came to the disciples. They are going to come. The whole point of this story is that a storm comes. And none of us are going to escape that reality. Illness. Let me go through some examples. Illness. Whether it's a sudden illness and you're down for a month and you get behind on your bills, or someone that you love dearly passes away and there's death. Maybe you're rejected. You know, just a few Sundays ago, we talked about the woman at the well and how she had been rejected in her life 5 times. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been rejected by somebody. Maybe you're getting criticized for being who you are, that you're being a follower of Christ, and it's unjust criticism, and you're dealing with that, or you have family problems. You know, you're going through a situation where, just whatever it is, all of us can relate to this kind of stuff. Now, here's the thing. All of us can relate that we have storms, but some of them sometimes are brought on by our own sin and our own stupidity. Sometimes we create our own messes And those are justified. And how does that work? How do we create our own messes? James chapter 1 tells us. James 1, 14 and 15 says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." So some storms that we're going through, we create by our own selves. And it says, James says, it starts with our own desires. So let me address that real quick. If we don't want to create our own storms in our own life, where should our desires be? We have to change our desires from being desires of the world to desires of things of Christ. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. This is going to be an important scripture this morning. So I want you to highlight it and save it. But I want to read you Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Colossians is a really small book. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, if you need some help for my Bible drillers out there. Colossians 3, 1 through 10. It says this: "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at his right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you two once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices, and have put on the new self, with its renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Creator." So what's he saying? What's it saying here? It's saying stop thinking about and doing the things of your old life before you were a follower of Christ, and start focusing on things of the kingdom. I mean, what was the big message that we shared yesterday at the Boshu? One of the big things that I always share when I'm teaching the gospel, when I'm preaching the gospel, when I'm one-on-one evangelizing, I say, Jesus says, "What does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul?" I told the guys yesterday, I said, "Hey, fellas," that I got to evangelize. I said, "Hey, I'm no really not much different than you were in one place. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I mean, I like having a truck." Because you're talking to a bunch of country guys, right? I can totally relate with them. And I said, "But I had to get to a point in my life that I looked at this stuff and I thought, none of this really matters. Like, none of this even matters compared to eternity." And that's what it's saying here. So if we don't want to create our own issues, stop thinking about things of the world and sin and start thinking about things of God. So the question here is, what takes up the majority of our time? What do we spend the most of our time thinking about? Things of the kingdom or things of this world? Is the kingdom our primary concern? Is it our primary concern? Jesus talked about this in Matthew 13, 44 through 45. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field." Is that how we view Christ? That we come to this relationship with Christ, and it is the most important thing. Like, it is the most important thing to us. And we would do anything to make sure we have that relationship. What does Jesus say? The man found the kingdom, and what did he do? He sold everything so he could buy the field. Is that our attitude? Like that we, oh man, that's how much we love the kingdom. Is that how much we view Christ? That he saved me, I'm his follower. There's nothing as important as that in my life. Sometimes, guys, storms happen in our lives because we sin and we create it ourselves. It's a self-made hurricane that can literally take us down. Because go back to James. What does it say? When our own desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, does what? Brings forth what? Death. We can create the own hurricane that takes us down. In fact, listen, we all create our own hurricane. And unless we have somebody to save us from that hurricane, it will take you down. And that's sin. That's sin. Now, here's the thing. Here's the deal. Sometimes we're going to have storms in our life that we didn't create, that somebody else's sin created. Go to 1 Kings chapter 21. I absolutely love this story. I want you to mark it and highlight it and read it today. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to tell you the story. But and please go back and read it, because I may miss some gaps here. But there's a king, and his name is King Ahab. And King Ahab had spotted this really nice vineyard. And he said, man, I want to go buy this vineyard, and I want to turn it into a garden of herbs. So he went to the owner of this vineyard. The man's name was Naboth. And he went to Naboth, and he said, Naboth, I want to buy your vineyard because I want to turn it into a garden of herbs. And Naboth said, nope, God forbids me that I sell you the inheritance of my father. I'm not selling you the vineyard. It's not for sale. God forbids it, right? So Ahab goes home, scripture says, sullen and angry. What does that mean? He goes home pouting. Naboth won't sell me his vineyard. Oh, I'm just upset. And his wife comes in, and her name's Jezebel. And Jezebel comes in. Jezebel says, what's wrong with you, Ahab? Aren't you the king? What's wrong with you? Why won't you eat? In fact, Ahab said, I'm not eating dinner. I'm going to bed without dinner. That's how he's whining, right? And Jezebel comes in and says, what's wrong, Ahab? And Ahab says, well, I went to Naboth, and I wanted to buy his vineyard, and he told me no. And Jezebel said, aren't you the king? I'll get you the vineyard. Don't worry about it. So what Jezebel does is she seals a letter in Naboth's name and sends it to the local officials, and they inviting him to come to this big banquet. And she hires two scoundrels, scripture says, or two worthless men to come and accuse Naboth of cursing God and the king. And if you curse God and the king, what would happen? They would stone you to death, and the king would get your property. So Jezebel does this, right? So you know what they did to Naboth? These two scoundrels, liars, worthless men, get up and accuse him of that. And if we remember from scripture, she had to get two, because on the one witness wasn't enough. You had to have multiple witnesses. So she got two scoundrels to lie about him, and they drugged Naboth out, and they stoned him to death. Now, do you think that was a storm that Naboth went through? Absolutely. Did he do anything to deserve any of that? No. Was his family and him going through a terrible storm? Yes. Why? Because he lived in a sinful world. We live in a sinful world, and our sins affect other people, and they affect people around us. Hey, guys, listen to me, parents. Don't think that we can sin and we can have things on the side that we like to do and it won't affect our kids. It will drastically affect your kids. Your kids, in fact, I don't know the exact numbers, but if you're an alcoholic, the chances are one of your kids are going to be an alcoholic. It's the way it is. It's sad. Our sins affect other people. Now, if you keep reading, though, in 1 Kings chapter 1, it says that there's a God in heaven that watches everything that's going on. And he sends Elijah to old Ahab. And you know what happens to Ahab and Jezebel? Elijah said, because you've done this, dogs are going to lick up your blood. And for as of Jezebel, dogs are going to eat her. And you know what happens later on? That's exactly what happens. So there's a God in heaven. Now listen, when we are going through storms that are created by somebody else's sin, what we're not supposed to do is go and try to get the justice and vengeance for ourselves. We're supposed to weather the storm and trust God. Romans 12:19 says, behold, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Even when we are going through storms and horrible things in our lives that other people created, we are called, brothers and sisters, to forgive. we are called to forgive. A great example of this, it's probably been a year ago, if you remember, right outside of San Antonio, Texas, there was a horrible church shooting in a Southern Baptist church. In fact, the gunman went in. The pastor, the senior pastor there, was away that week, and he had somebody fill in, and a gunman went in and killed the majority of his congregation. In fact, his own daughter was one of the ones that was killed that day by that gunman. And I remember seeing on TV that pastor get up. It was like the next day on NBC and do interviews and had forgiveness and love for that gunman. Can you imagine? That's a real life example that we can look at and say, man, that guy did it right. I don't know that I could do that, I'll be honest with you this morning. But when other storms are created, guys, we're called to forgive and to love. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not. But when we're going through a storm caused by somebody else's sin, I want you to remember something today on this first point. When we are going through a storm that's caused by somebody else's sin, I want you to remember how many storms you created by your sin for somebody else. And have mercy and compassion. Second, this is hard to understand, but it's here. These storms are a part of God's will. They're a part of God's will. Tristan, they even sang about that this morning. So if you're in a storm right now, you're going through something right now, you may be thinking, Lord, what have I done to deserve this? What have I done to deserve this? I haven't done anything. And it may be that it's not because of your sin, that you haven't done anything wrong. The mistake behind that process is that you thought, and by a lot of bad teaching because you become a follower of Christ, your life is going to be easy. You're going to breeze through it. That's not the case. I've said this before. 11 out of the 12 disciples of Christ were executed. They were executed. Executed. So don't expect that being a follower of Christ just means it's like a breeze here on this earth. You know when it's a breeze and it's awesome? When you're in heaven with him. So we have to stay focused on that. So don't think that just because you have Jesus, there's no storm. Don't think it's because anything that may you have done. What in Matthew 14:22, the parallel scripture, Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat and crossed. He told them to go. He was in control of the whole thing. He's in control. Like Tristan said this morning, I heard him saying, I loved when you said that. He controls the waves and the ocean. He's in charge of all of it. So when he sent the disciples, he knew exactly what was going to happen. Jesus put them right in the middle of this hurricane. Why? Why? So his will could be done. Great example. I can come up with all kind of fancy illustrations. There's nothing better of this, in my opinion, than Acts chapter 16. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Once again, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to illustrate it for you, and you can go back and critique me later if I miss something, okay? But in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are on their way, Scripture says, to a place of prayer. And they had met a slave girl who was demon-possessed. And by her owners, she received a whole lot of money. They would receive a lot of money for her telling fortunes. Now, let me have a side note here real quick. Don't ever, ever, ever go to a fortune teller. It is demonic activity, okay? I want to call it like it is. It is demonic activity. Don't go to a fortune teller. There's the side note. So here's this fortune-telling girl who's demon-possessed, Scripture says, and the girl would follow Paul and heckle them. And this is what she was saying. She had a real loud voice. These men are servants of the Most High God and proclaim to you the way of salvation. Can you imagine somebody walking behind you as you're doing evangelism? Somebody who's demon-possessed screaming. These men are servants of the Most High God and they proclaim to you the way of salvation. At first you may think, man, this is pretty cool. I mean, she knows why we're here. But Scripture says this girl kept doing it for days and days. It's kind of like if your kids do this to you. You tell them to do something and they repeat what you say. And you tell them again and they repeat. And then you tell them something else and they repeat. They like play the repeating game. That's what this girl was doing. And finally, Paul gets aggravated. And Paul turns around to her and he says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And the demon came out. Now that's an awesome miracle. That's awesome. Owners were not happy. Why? This girl wasn't telling fortunes no more. There went their income. They were out. Now it gets rough. They're upset. So they have Paul and Silas arrested. And they say, throw these guys into jail. Before they threw them in jail, they beat them with rods. They beat them with rods. They threw them into jail. In fact, into the inner stock of the prison, into the dungeon, like the worst part of the prison. So they arrest Paul and Silas. They bring them in. They beat them. They throw them into the inner stock. Are they going through a storm right now? Yeah. For doing what? Casting out a demon? Something good? And they're going through a storm. Now, here's the point. Here's what I want you to hold on to here. What's their attitude? Go to Acts 16, 25. They were beaten. They were thrown into jail. And they're going through a horrible point in their life. And this is what it says. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening. Wow. They're praying and singing hymns, and the prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there's a huge earthquake. The foundations of the prison are shaken. The doors are open, and the chains fall off. And they can make a quick escape if they want to. The jailer is about ready to commit suicide because in that time, if the prisoners escaped, he was going to get executed. It was his neck. And Paul cries out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself. For we're all here." Now think about this. Stop here. Paul and Silas were beaten, thrown into jail for not doing anything wrong. And what is their attitude? They're rejoicing God. They're praising him in the storm. They're praising him in the storm. That's their attitude. And what does God do? The jailer, Scripture says they hadn't even shared the gospel yet. And what does it say? The jailer falls down before Paul and Silas and says, "What must I do to be saved?" The guy knew they were of Christ because of their attitude. They had not shared the gospel with him. When he says that, what does Paul and Silas do? They share the gospel with the jailer and his household, and all of them are saved and baptized at once. Why did that happen? Because Paul and Silas, while they were going through the storm, kept their focus on God. They didn't pout. They didn't whine. They didn't say, "Oh, I can't believe this is going on. This is the end of the world." They kept their focus on God. They praised him during the storm, and look what happened. Somebody is saved. His whole household is saved, who was lost and is now found. Now, you want to tell me that God's will wasn't done there? That God didn't have Paul and Silas arrested and beaten and put in that jail for a reason? That he didn't have it all planned out. Paul and Silas kept their focus on God. He used them because they were available. They kept their focus on God. So when we're going through a storm, God has a purpose for it. God has a purpose. Listen, Paul and Silas didn't know there was going to be an earthquake and the jail was going to fall down. They just know we're going to keep our focus on Christ. No matter what's going on, it can all be falling apart around us. We're going to keep our focus on Christ. The disciples in John chapter 6 were put in the storm by Christ to deepen their faith in who he was. Guys, when we're going through this, I'm talking to my brothers and sisters this morning. When we're going through storms, there's a reason for it. It deepens our faith. Draw near to God. Trust in him. Keep your eyes on him. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 say this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Wow. Count it joy. What did it say? Paul and Silas were joyful. Joyful. Final thing here. Final thing. God's not going anywhere when you're in this storm. He is with you. He's with you. Perhaps the disciples in John chapter 6, they thought, he must not even know what's going on here. We are going to die. But he does know, and he cares. And sometimes we think that we're alone. We're not. He knows what's happening in our lives. He's sovereign. He's the creator of the universe. It's true. He knows when you're going through a storm, and he loves you, and he has compassion. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. Turn to Romans chapter 8. We're getting down to our last few verses here. Romans chapter 8, 31 through 39. This is the most encouraging passage of scripture I think I can share with you this morning, guys. It's Romans 8, 31 through 39. It says this: What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also be with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, who is to condemn. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give me an amen. That covers the spectrum. That's everything. Nothing in all creation can separate you from God's love. Listen, when you're a follower of Christ, not your sin, not somebody else's sin, nothing can separate you from God's love. Listen, when we're going through storms, God is with us. He cares. He cares. He has compassion. We see that in John chapter 11, when Lazarus has died. Mary and Martha sent for Jesus while Lazarus was sick. Jesus waits. He delays. He says, no, I'm not going to come yet. He waits till Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Why? Because he wanted to make sure everybody knew that Lazarus was really dead. Jesus wanted his power to be on display. And you know what it says, the shortest verse in Scripture? When he saw Mary and Martha and Mary, that he wept. Jesus wept. When you're going through a storm, he has compassion. He cares. He loves you. He's with you. He cares. And then you know what happens finally with these disciples in chapter 6? He comes. Jesus comes to the disciples at the worst part of this whole deal. They were exhausted, wondering if they're going to survive. And what happens? Jesus shows up. He shows up. He's there. He shows up. Listen. We may not even see him show up when we're going through a storm, but he shows up for his will to be done. And listen, we can call on the Lord and ask for his help. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Cast all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Listen, guys, I'm normally hammering down up here, but I want you to be encouraged this morning. I want you to be encouraged that no matter what you're going through, listen to me, if you're a brother and sister in Christ, if you have put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, that you have acknowledged that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, you have turned from your sin and put your faith and trust in Christ, he is with you. If you haven't done that, you're alone. You're in the boat alone. And let me tell you, you're going to sink. And you know what? It's going to be death, an eternal death. Sunday mornings are for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love you guys. Man, I love you. We're here. We're going through life in storms together. If you're lost this morning, you're doing life by yourself. You're trusting in your own self. Don't do that. Here's a review. Storms are going to come. Anybody who says any different is just lying. You're not ever going to reach the point in life where storms don't come. When they do, stay focused on Christ. Stay focused on Him. Storms are a part of God's will. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't see the big picture. That's where our faith comes in. Paul and Silas had to have faith that God knew what He was doing. And while they were going through the storm, they said, We're going to praise you for who you are. And we're not going to worry about anything else. We're just going to praise you. And what happened? Oh, man, people are saved. And God used them. And the third, we're going to have an invitation. As God is with you in the storm, He's never going to leave you or forsake you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. I want to read it again. And you know what? Coincidentally, it's going to be our benediction. You're going to hear it three times today. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you are in Him, you're secure. He's with you. Listen, Naboth was drug out and stoned to death. He was a believer in God. Where's Naboth right now? I can't wait to meet that guy one day. I'll meet him in heaven. He died, but he went to heaven. Listen, when we're going through storms, God's with us. He's going to be there. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Are you going through a storm right now in your life? If so, I want you to understand something. He sees what you're going through. You can rely on Him. You can rely on Him. Not only does He see, but He cares, guys. He cares. If you're one of His children, I'm talking to my brothers and sisters right now. Make sure we understand that. If you're going through a storm right now, He cares. He loves you. Be encouraged this morning. Be joyful. Count it as joy this morning. If you're here and you're not a believer today, you're in that boat alone. I'm just telling you, you're going through life alone right now. And one day, I want to tell you, you're going to stand before God and you're having to give an account. You're going to have to give an account. Scripture says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. You have to confess in your heart that you believe in who Jesus is, that He rose again. You do that. You make a public profession of faith. And you know what that public profession of faith is? That I'm no longer living, walking a dead life. I am now a follower, a believer in Christ Jesus. If you haven't done that, you're in the boat by yourself. And I want to tell you, I want to warn you, flee from the wrath to come. If you're here this morning, you're one of my brothers, and you need me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. You want to pray by yourself. If you're going through a storm and you need encouragement, I want to encourage you. When you're going through a storm, I'm going through a storm. We need to be there for one another. Let's pray. If you need to come, you come. Father, I thank You, Lord, this morning for Your word. I thank You, God, it's encouraged me this week that, hey, You're always there. You're always with us. No matter what we're going through, as brothers and sisters of Yours, we can create our own messes all the time by our sin. And Lord, You still love us, and You're not going anywhere. So Lord, forgive us when we create our own storms. Thank You for saving us from it. Lord, and let us just have the courage and strength like Paul and Silas to keep our focus on You, that when we're going through storms, We're going to keep our focus on You, and people's lives are going to be changed and our lives are going to grow in our faith to You. Lord, if there's people here this morning that don't know You, they're lost and they don't have a personal relationship with You. Lord, I want to pray that Your Holy Spirit's going to burden them today. That, you know, we get so focused in America on everything, all the junk. We get focused on our jobs and money and our houses. And Father, what does it profit? What does it profit if we gain the whole world and we don't have a relationship with Your Son, Jesus? What does it profit us? It just doesn't. So this morning, let us focus, everybody here, on our relationship with You, where we're at right now. We love You. We thank You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
as held the oceans in his hand, who has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to
Comforter, my all in all.
Blessed God, the helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied for every sin. Is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm.
I look out here, and I just think how awesome heaven's going to be with you guys. Man. Randy, come on up here. I had the chance to talk to Randy this week, and Randy's made a profession of faith in Christ. So, he's now a brother in Christ. He's a Marine, too, so he's my brother-in-arms, right? So I want you to come around at the close of service and congratulate Randy. He's getting baptized today, too. So we got three to baptize. So Kathy, make sure you get his name wherever you're at. And yeah, no, she's out there. She's listening. So Randy, we're going to get you a Bible after your baptism. But so I'm proud of you. Kyle, come on up here. Ben, come on up here. Tryson. I'm only going to say one thing, and I'm going to turn it over to these guys. It takes a lot of courage to do what he's doing. You don't have to say anything. Ben, you can say something. You guys got it.
Go ahead, Ben. I just want to tell you, kind of want to talk about discipleship just for a second, how important it is. And if you haven't been discipled, get discipled. And if you have been, choose some disciples. Kyle and I have got the opportunity to meet up, and we've started discipling. And, you know, before I disciple somebody, I talk to them about salvation and if they have been saved. And we went through that, and when he was 8 years old, he we started that conversation about a month ago, and then the other night we were going through the discipleship, and it was the salvation section. When we got through with salvation, he was ready to accept the Lord, and so he gave his life to the Lord that night, and we've weighed out all the costs, and he's ready to follow God, and so he is now a follower of Christ. To be the youth pastor's son and playing in the band every week, to stand up and say, hey, I hadn't really thought about it, I didn't realize it, but Christ hasn't been evident in my life. And I encourage each and every one in this room to examine your own lives and to see if maybe Christ isn't evident in yours. So when you leave these doors, is Christ with you? Are you walking with him? Really examine yourselves, because hell would be a scary place to be forever. So I just, that's all I want to say. You want to say anything?
It all started when Ben had asked if I was afraid of dying. And I was afraid of dying because I didn't know where I would end up in eternal life. And it all started with that one first question. And that one question had changed it all.
It just goes to show that, I mean, a person can be this close, I mean, all the time. God's been here. I mean, when he got baptized in this church in 2008, he made a profession of faith. And then he realized, I actually didn't know what I was doing. I actually have spent all this time this close to something real, and this time, and have not done anything with it. And it just kind of, as we talked about it, it just, he realizes, I'm not getting re-saved. I'm not getting re-baptized. I'm not getting anything. This is now when it's real. And that all of a sudden it just clicked, like I've been this close to God all this time and still was not believing all the way. I mean, that I'm really a Christian and ready to live my life that way. And so I'm very proud. I'm very proud of you, son.
Me too.
All right, so quick meeting right after church for youth parents, and then we go to the river for baptism. I'm excited. I'm excited to do that. Somebody else, read the benediction today. Read it like you're excited as a brother in Christ.
All right, so the benediction is Romans 8:38-39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Close us in prayer, Jonathan.